Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, and you. Welcome to Ask the Law. Gary, how are you, man?
Good. Good to have you back after just a 2-day vacation this time.
Yeah, that's right. Vacation. That's what I was doing. I was vacationing. Right. Yeah.
I heard about your ride coming back.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Welcome to Ask the Law for Monday, October 4th. It is 10-4. Drivers, today is the National Truck Driving Holiday, so we ask that all truck drivers take the day off. Yeah, that's exactly the reception I got there at the Guilty by Association truck show when I said that. And, of course, they did laugh for good reason, because we know they can't even take a day off, because if they did, we all know what would happen. Welcome to this program for we forgot to put the date on the script. It just says October 2010. It is for Monday, October 4th, 2010, as we just said. And it is Ask the Law, brought to you by Old Blue USA. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. And the information and answers are up to date at this time. Can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only and sometimes funny. You can go to askthelaw.org and submit your CMV questions anytime. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. Got a couple of questions for you, Trooper Dial. Trooper Dial, first of all, welcome to the program. Mm-hmm. Good to see you.
Yes,
glad to be here. Fall of 2010, and it's feeling more like it every second. When we were up on that stage at the Guilty by Association truck show Saturday night, which was, gosh, just a little over 24 hours ago, doing the award ceremony, man, up there, it was cold. It was only 48 degrees, but the wind was blowing. I was just freaking.
You could feel old man winter slowly heading
down
this way.
I could feel old man Harley. My arthritis was kicking in. It was pretty cool. And then I got out of the car like about 6 hours later in Texas, and it was much warmer. Now I remember why I live in Texas. All right. We did have plenty of drivers come by the booth, and I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all the kind words. Joe from San Antonio, Larry, and all the guys, Dean and everybody that came by and said hello. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We can't thank you enough for being so kind to us at the Guilty by Association truck show at Four State Trucks. It was a big show. And it was a very pleasant surprise to meet all these drivers who love the show and love this segment too, Trooper Dial. And one recruiter came up to me and he said, "Okay, just want to check and see if we're doing things okay." All right, Dan has a company that runs mostly teams, and one thing I didn't consider, by the way, that he brought up, he said it's kind of a problem with teams and CSA 2010, because you want a good team that fits together, but sometimes you've got teams that don't fit together when one record is really bad. He cited one team, husband and wife team, her record really good. Well, the husband, his record wasn't so great. It was not bad, but it wasn't to the point where they could keep them on board. So they had to let them go. But I didn't really consider the impact on team drivers, because it's not as if, and sometimes I know they do, but it's not as if you can always just put a couple of guys or people together inside a truck and make it work as a team.
Well, I think a lot of it's going to depend upon which member of the team is driving during what portion of the day.
Right.
You know,
right.
Let's face it, most of your state law enforcement that do the DOT inspections, most of them usually will work, say, 5 o'clock in the morning till maybe 2 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, you know, about the only time one of them is going to show up is if they have one of them wrecks that you're going to stop and wake Bubba up, because Bubba ain't never seen one.
Yeah.
And that's about the only time you're going to get them. So if you've got a driver that is driving the biggest bulk of the hours during those times, that's when you're going to see a lot of activity generated by the inspections. So it could be that you have one team driver that is getting all the inspections and the other one isn't getting any inspections. So you could have a pretty difference in a driver's score just by being a team driving the same truck.
Well, and that's a... That again, that's the problem they're going to run into. These companies that rely on teams are going to have to find squeaky clean teams.
Oh,
so
yes.
They're not just looking at one record. They're looking, and let's face it, is there any better team than a husband and wife team? The chemistry is there. You know that. Okay, they're not going to necessarily get along every second of the day. Let's be realistic, but they're certainly going to have better chemistry than other teams.
Yes, but here again, I think it goes back to, and I saw this time after time after time. Anytime I stopped a female that was driving a truck, very, very few times did I ever find anything wrong with their logs.
Yeah.
I mean, they were neat with their logs, but yet you take the husband or the male driver, and a lot of those, you know, they may not keep their log up like they're supposed to. They may get a little sloppy with their logs and whatever else and whatnot.
Right.
So I can take and see where the male driver might get more points assessed when they go through a roadside inspection because his logbook is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but another good thing that a lot of people, you know, then and you and I both have answered this question time and time and time again, where you have a driver that shows up at a location, shipper or receiver, and for whatever reason he runs out of hours, they will not let them park on it, and subsequently now they've got to go someplace else. You've got a team driver. Soon as they get through, one driver runs out of hours. They swap places. The one that's in the sleeper berth gets in the driver's seat.
Right.
Down the road they go. They haven't lost anything.
Right, exactly. And that's it. He has his teams running. Basically, their teams are running this way. He said, we're running 10 and 10. I asked him, I said, you're running 10 and 10? He said, yeah, because most teams these days are. So he said, what we do is that we run 10, and then after that 10, the truck stops, and both drivers come out of the truck. They do whatever they need to, and they fuel and everything else, and then the next driver to get behind the wheel will do the pre-trip, then they get back in, and then when the truck starts rolling, the other driver goes back into the bunk. And so he asked, he said, you know, are we doing everything, and what do they log that hour as? And I said, well, that hour, if it's spent fueling and everything else, that's on duty, not driving.
Correct.
And getting back into that sleeper, that is their off-duty time. So as long as they stay in that sleeper for that full 10 hours, they're good to go.
Yes.
That's off-duty time.
Right.
We certainly encourage that. Get all the rest you can, and it seems like they're doing everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And what they could do is if they're down for an hour to an hour and a half, mm-hmm. whatever the time mm-hmm. is,
right.
once they get their fuel, if they go in to take a shower, do laundry, get something to eat, whatever, now then all they do is go up to the off-duty line.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they're doing it, they're doing it by the book.
All right. Now the question is, what about this new bill, and we're going to talk about this here in just a few minutes, because we have some scenarios for you. Friday on Northland Night, we were putting together some scenarios based on some concerns that OOIDA and others had with this pending legislation that basically says it would be mandatory for all trucks, all commercial vehicles, to have an electronic onboard recorder. The story from thetrucker.com talks about how at OOIDA, the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, They take exception with this. Todd Spencer does, the executive vice president over there. Now, this legislation, what he had a problem because he says not everything, because essentially he's saying because the data input requires a human to do it, and he's alluding to the on-duty, not driving hours. So those 3 hours of your 14 that would be not driving. He said you really, and also to your rest time, you really don't know what that driver is doing. It's just whatever they put into that EOBR. When we come back after the break, I want to throw you a couple of scenarios because we kind of threw that around. I absorbed it a little bit, and basically I came back with the thing that the idea that, all right, that's fine and wonderful. That does give you room to cheat per se, but there is an incentive to cheat when you're driving because those are miles that are going to make you money. To cheat when you're off the when you're not driving, when you're on duty not driving, again, aside from maybe your 70 hours, there's less of an incentive there. So we'll talk about that and more. Ask the law. If you have a question for Trooper Dial, based on electronic onboard recorders, this pending legislation, CSA 2010 that we've talked about, and man, you know, it just seems like we're just scratching the surface on this whole CSA 2010 thing, Trooper Dial.
Yes.
So if there's anything here, maybe you've got something you want to know if that's going to count on your CSA 2010. All of this and more, 800-288-9227. Get on board right now. We'll start taking your calls right away. 800-288-9227. We'll get to weather along the highways coming up, and Ask the Law continues next
on the Midnight Radio Network.
And don't forget, you can go to our website, midnighttrucking.com.
The Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227, and Ask the Law. Drivers, get your questions in to retired senior trooper Monty Dial, our special guest, Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
All right. In fact, let's go to the phones. We have a question standing by now and also one already in the email inbox. So let's get your question on right now at 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Jim in Houston, Texas. Jim, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, Monty. How you all doing tonight?
Great, Jim. How about yourself?
Pretty good. I'm over here in Houston getting ready to deliver a load. Anyway, I'll tell you what. I've been at this industry 38 years. I grew up in it, and I am totally against this electronic logs. And before it's all said and done, this government, what they want is team operations, total. There'll be no more solo drivers, and that's what I believe. And I'll tell you what, if these guys are going to implement these laws, they better start opening these rest areas when somebody shows up and they pre-planned, just like I did over in Mississippi, and I got to drive 45 minutes over my log to find a safe haven to park because the government has not got these rest areas or any place else open for us to park because they decided to close them. That's on them. But you know what? It falls back on the driver.
Well, and
I suggest everybody get their act together. And again, the government still can't get these hours of service right. And how many times have they been at it now?
Well, they're still at it. In fact, that's
right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And Jim,
I'll tell you what, 38 years, I'm getting a little tired of these people trying to cut my wages and interfere in my lifestyle. I've got a box full of awards. Million miles, CF, everything else. And it just, I wish they'd get their act together.
Yeah, that's some
really. And leave us alone.
Some really great points there, Jim. Thank you so much. We do appreciate your comments. That actually leads to a great question here. And let's keep in mind, this is a great, while we do respect all your comments and opinions surrounding EOBRs and everything else and regulation, certainly we've voiced our opinions a time or two on this program. Let's ask that question about some of the electronic recorders or devices, electronic logs that are in place right now. Do you have any experience with them, Trooper Dial? Do you know about what these drivers do? Because right now it's only a matter of policy with their company. So it's, you know, they might get a slap on the wrist from their company if they have, let's say, they're supposed to shut down, the company wants them to shut down, and they have to go another 15 minutes or so to find a rest area. The rest area is shut down. Is there any leeway there?
No. going back to the first part of it, I have been dealing with automatic recorders under 395.15 since the early 80s.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I hold that thought because I want to talk about how these devices work. This is one of the big questions, too. Electronic onboard recorders. How is this all going to work, and how automatic will it be? How much data input? And Todd Spencer's concerns over at OOIDA, and more coming up on Ask the Law.
On the Midnight Radio Network. The Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, October 4th, 2010. We're here with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. I want to thank R.J. Taylor and the folks over there for making this possible for many, many years on this program. The information is up to date. All the answers are up to date at this time, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Drivers, go to askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law for your CMV questions to get answered anytime. And we do have one by email in our email inbox. And Jeff writes this question for Monty: if you are hauling in a rig under 26,000 pounds, do you have to abide by the hours of service rules, use a logbook, or pull into the scales?
A lot of it's going to be, Jeff, depending upon whether or not you are operating interstate. Either the truck crosses the line or the load has crossed the line. If it has, then you go back in 390.5, look up the definition of a commercial vehicle, and it says interstate vehicles, 10,001, actual weight, gross vehicle weight rating are subject to 390 through 396, which means you got to have a medical card, you got to keep a logbook, and you got to stop at the scales.
Okay. Wow. So that a medical card, logbook, and stop at the scales.
Yes.
That's 10,001 pounds or more.
Interstate. Right.
Okay. And on the hours of service, that you're still abiding by
yes,
the hours of service?
Yes.
You got a logbook. That
yep.
means
still got to abide by the hours of service.
All right. 800 Jeff, hopefully that answers your questions. 800-288-9227. Let's go to the phones.
And let's talk to Sean in Virginia. Sean, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. I drive a local and out and back every night at midnight. Now, if I slip seize, electronic board, onboard recorder isn't going to track me as a driver. It's only, so essentially, I could drive over my 70 and not be noticed, or the brake shorter than 10 hours and not be noticed, and the CSA 2010, it would never catch it because there wouldn't be a company audit because I wouldn't have problems with the scales. Is that all correct?
No. I'll tell you right now, no. What's going to happen, Jeff, or I'm sorry, Sean, is one of the requirements, and here again, we're talking what we suspect the rulemaking is going to be. And FMCSA is going to require every driver to have a unique ID number. And it doesn't make a difference if he is in his truck or if he's in another truck. What he does is when he gets in the truck, he punches his ID code into the EOBR, and it recognizes him and starts keeping track of his hours.
Okay, so if I'm in a different truck, you'd still notice it at the scale on the same onboard recorder.
Well, it regardless of whether you're using the EOBR that's in your truck or the EOBR that's in the spare truck that you're driving, the fact is you have to use your ID code to enter and basically unlock the system so that it will start recording the hours.
Right, and I understand that as far as the company tracking it and all that kind of thing, but I'm wondering if that would be identified at the scales, and if so, how about if I took a second job?
Well, the second job, that's going to be up between you and the company.
Okay, and this is a question, Sean, that I had for Trooper Dial, and this was something we were throwing around on the Friday show. All right, let's say Sean or some other driver gets in, they log in to this EOBR. They drive for 10, or they drive for 11 hours. They drive for their full allotted time that they can for the day, 11 hours, and then the truck stops. And then at 11 hours and 15, they're still on duty, but they decide to tell the logbook, the electronic onboard recorder, that they are off duty. And they log out of that logbook. The logbook or the device is only going to record what the truck is going to do. And then beyond that, when it stops rolling, it's only going to record the data input that the driver tells it, correct?
Well, the thing is, it's going to be the EOBR is going to be tied to the movement of the truck.
Right, right.
If the driver logs off duty,
right,
he tells the EOBR, I am off duty.
Mm-hmm.
If the wheels start rolling,
right,
it's going to start squawking.
Right, and that's and all that's great in the driving period for the 11 hours, but for the on-duty not driving, if he is out there and he's working on the truck, he's doing something, he's got the hood open, or something else, and he logs out at 11 hours and 15 minutes, after 11 hours and 15 minutes of driving, and there's no more movement of that truck, but he's logged out, but he has still performed on-duty tasks.
The same thing happens with the paper log.
Right.
The driver, you know, goes and shows 11 hours driving, 15 minutes for performing post-trip inspection,
and
then goes off duty, and then he decides he wants to take and work on his truck. There's no way to catch it unless law enforcement actually sees him out there, drives up, and says, hey, let me look at your logbook.
Okay, and that's one of the points that Todd Spencer at OOIDA made, which is a valid point.
Sure.
Now, my point that I came back with was, okay, there's less of an incentive unless you're trying to keep your 70 hours down.
Yes.
That's where it would come into play. Is
or your 10-hour break.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's say there it's logging. You're looking to log your 10-hour break. You just started at 11 hours, and after driving 11 hours, you start right after that. You say you go off duty in the electronic onboard recorder. It essentially is going to only record 11 hours of on-duty time, or 10 hours, or however many hours you drove during that day. And I think that was one of Todd Spencer's concerns, is that beyond the movement of that vehicle, that electronic onboard recorder only knows and only keeps track of, and he actually said, that makes it no better than a paper logbook.
Well, the thing is, you have to understand is when a driver goes off duty, FMCSA nor the current regulations dictate,
right,
we would hope somebody's getting rest.
Yes, yes.
But
yes,
the regulations does not dictate,
right,
what that driver has to do during his 10 hours of sleeper berth or 10 hours of off-duty rest.
Right, and that's exactly the point that Todd Spencer made.
And it don't make a difference if you got a paper log or you got an EOBR.
Mm-hmm.
When the driver goes off-duty,
mm-hmm,
the driver, you know, and I've heard a lot of them say, you know, driver goes off 10 hours in Vegas, that driver's not getting any sleep at all, because
right,
he's going
right
to be in the slot, you know, going to be in the gaming rooms.
Now, from the legislative perspective or rulemaking perspective here, with all due respect to the Honorable Senators Mark Pryor of Arkansas and the Honorable Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Mr. Pryor being a Democrat and Mr. Alexander being a Republican here, that that aspect of it, because the incentive on cheating on a log really is about staying on the road when you're saying on your log that you're not on the road.
Correct.
And that's the difference here. And, Sean, I think that's what we're getting to, is where is the real incentive? The real incentive is to cheat and say you're not driving while you are driving and the truck is rolling, and in that case, you're not going to be able to cheat that logbook, that electronic logbook.
And, okay.
And I think that's ultimately the end game. And thank you, Sean. We do appreciate your call. I think ultimately that's the end game here. And, because Sean and I made some good points. And that is, all right, the incentive, you can fudge on your on-duty, not driving hours. And or you could say that you've gone off duty or whatever it is, completely, your 10-hour break, but it's really about the rolling of that truck. Now,
right. And here again, and I think that's what's prompted NTSB to make recommendations to FMCSA.
Right.
That's what prompted the advocacy groups to make a strong case, is that these high-profile cases, crashes,
mm-hmm.
that they have determined that the driver was fatigued,
right.
was all established, and that the driver had driven more than 11 hours.
Right, right.
He was in violation of the hours of service.
Right.
Driving more than 11, driving more than 60 or 70. And so I think this is what the two senators are driving home at, is we want to regulate the driver, the movement of the vehicle.
Yes, yes, because that's where the incentive is to cheat.
That's where the incentive to cheat is.
All right, we're back with Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you want to get your question in for retired senior trooper Monty Dial, I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, October 4th, 2010. And all the information and answers up to date at this time can change without notice. Statements made by anyone other than Trooper Monty Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's see if we can get a question in before the break.
Let's go to Chris in Fort Worth, Texas. Chris, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. How you doing? The question I have is the hours of service different for oil-filled truck drivers than for everybody else? I've had a supervisor tell me that we're allowed to run 16 hours, and another one tell me just tonight that we're allowed to run 22 hours.
Wow.
A lot of it's going to be depending upon what you're doing.
Okay, well, I'm a sand hauler for right now, but I'm trying to get back over the road.
Yes and no. Here's how things work in the oil field. If you're hauling in sand and it's going to be used to frack the well, and all of a sudden the frack machine goes down, and you're sitting there at the well site waiting for them to get the frack machine going again, you can log that as off duty, and it doesn't count against you.
Does it matter how long that downtime is?
No. No.
Well, this is without any downtime. This is just running from sand pit back to the well.
So you're driving all the whole time?
Mostly, yeah, with about 15 to 30 minutes at the sand pit and about up to 2 hours at the well unloading.
No, you can't. No, no.
Wow.
Even under the Texas regs, you're entitled to a maximum of 15 hours. And of that,
okay.
Of that 15, no more than 12 of it can be driving.
Okay, I was just curious because me and my bosses have been getting into arguments over this here lately.
Okay, what I would invite you to do so you can kind of get it in writing, Chris, go to the Ask the Law website, askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, and there's a big red button that says email Ask the Law. Submit that question there and let them know that you were on our show and you talked to Trooper Dial and you would just like to get it in writing, and they'll send it to you. That way you can show it to your crew. It's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.